And before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Today's chapter from Torah is vibrant and full of important lessons for our lives. I would call this chapter a chapter of contrasts and clashes of different worldviews. So let's read Exodus chapter 32. Let us read all chapter, because it is so important to know this history, to know this story. Chapter 32, book of Exodus, verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Get up, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden rings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He received them from their hand and made a molten calf, fashioned with a chiseling tool. Then they said, "This is your God, Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Then Aaron made a proclamation, saying, "Tomorrow will be a feast to Adonai." Verse 6. They rose up early the next morning, sacrificed burnt offerings, and brought fellowship offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to make merry. Verse 6, very interesting verse. Interestingly, the people of Israel took an image of their Egyptian god and worshipped him in the wilderness because this idol was familiar to them. And also, what the Lord showed me when I read this place, that they worshipped an old idol, but with the new spiritual knowledge. I mean that the Lord taught them how to bring special offerings to him. And now they use this knowledge to worship an idol. Verse 6, they sacrificed burnt offerings and brought fellowship offerings. In Egypt, they just worshipped a golden calf, but now they were bringing special offerings, burnt offering and fellowship offering, to the idol that were intended for the Lord. It reminds me of Balaam and his spiritual knowledge and how he used it to do harm to Israel. It is when people of God use spiritual knowledge to achieve their own goals, because there is great power in the spiritual laws, and it is evil when used to manipulate people. So let's continue with verse 7. Then Adonai said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have become debased. They quickly turned aside from the path that I commanded for them. They have made a molten calf, worshipped it, and sacrificed to it, and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" Adonai said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, leave me alone, so my wrath may burn hot against them, and so I may consume them and make from you a great nation." Verse 11. Then Moses sought Adonai, his God, and said, "Adonai, why should your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" Very interesting verses. Did you notice that the Lord and Moses had a family conversation here? The Lord said, You brought your people out of Egypt. And Moses praying answered. He said that it is your people, O Lord, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. It looks like a negotiation between them. This is the prayer of intercession. Verse 12. Why should the Egyptians say, he brought them out to do evil, to slay them in the mountains, and to annihilate them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this destruction against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken, I will give to your offspring, and they will inherit it forever. So Adonai relented from the destruction that he said he would do to his people. Verse 15. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, tablets that were written on both sides, on one and on the other. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is the sound of war within the camp. But Moses said, it is not the voice of a shout of victory, nor it is the voice of crying from defeat, but I hear the sound of singing. Then it happened, as soon as Moses came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and his anger burned hot. Can you see here? Moses is angry right now. So he threw the tablets out of his hands and smashed them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf that they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, scattered it on the surface of the water, and made Bnei Israel, sons of Israel, drink it. Here is the war of two worlds. At the most crucial moment, when one of the key events in the history of the Jewish people takes place, when Moses ascends the mountain and communicates with God face to face, panim al panim, he meets Yeshua, the Messiah, on the mountain. He abides in fasting and prayers for 40 days and nights, praying and interceding for his people. And at the very same time, the rest of the children of Israel, led by the high priest Aaron, built a golden idol, an Egyptian calf made of gold, and proclaim him their God. And you know that our Lord is a jealous God. And Moses smashed the tablets of the covenant, destroying the covenant that the Lord established with Israel. And you know the story. At the cost of incredible humility and prayer, Moses stands in the gap between God and humanity. Later, ascends the mountain again, and by the grace of God, restores the relations of the covenant, bringing the tablets to his people. So let's look at the reasons for what happened and how we can avoid such a sin in our own lives today. So I would like to start with the calling of the Jewish people from the beginning. The Lord chose his people and brought them out of Egyptian bondage for the purpose of making them servants and children of God. Giving a prophetic revelation to Abraham and speaking about his future and the future of his descendants, the Lord gives him a calling to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. Genesis 12, verse 2. This is the promise from the Lord to Abraham. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. So that you may be a blessing. That is the essence of the existence of the Jewish people. Through following the Lord and serving Him, they were to be a blessing to all the people of the earth. You see, the Lord has plans far beyond our human ability to understand and embrace. When we respond to the call of God, we cannot imagine the great plans of the Lord for our future. Choosing Abraham, the Lord already had a plan for the Jewish people. He already saw Jerusalem and the temple. The Lord already knew exactly when the Messiah would come and how he would die, having redeemed each of us. So, my prayer for you, keep the faith. Follow in obedience. Don't get discouraged and don't stop, because all good things are ahead of you, the promise of the Lord. So, the Jewish people were chosen, they were prepared and redeemed from Egyptian slavery to give knowledge about the Lord and bring the Messiah, the Savior Yeshua, into this world. And not only that, look how many blessings came to this earth through the Jewish people. By choosing Abraham, the Lord gave many wonderful artists, doctors, scientists, composers, musicians, etc. But the most important, the heart of all of this, all it all started with the call to serve God. Everything started with this call. Exodus 9:1, it is the call to the Jewish people. Exodus 9:1. Then Adonai said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and tell him, 'This is what Adonai, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they may serve me.'" Let my people go so they may serve me. Also, Exodus 19, verse 6. "So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim," or priests, "and a holy nation. These are the words which you are to speak to Bnei Israel," sons of Israel. This is where the source of blessing is, where everything important and valuable begins. Blessed is the man who serves the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose Lord is God. And woe to that man and nation that distances itself from God. I would like to read Psalm 73, verse 25 through verse 28. And this is the word of God, of the Lord, to us. Verse 25. "Whom have I in heaven but you? On earth there is none I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those far from you will perish. You put an end to all who like a harlot are unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made my Lord Adonai my refuge. So I will tell all of your works." Amen. And when we follow the goals that God sets before us, He will surely provide us with everything necessary to achieve these goals. Finances, people, talents, His presence, and everything you need. He has everything for you. So let's take a close look at God's providence for the Jewish people. It's a very interesting story. Have you ever wondered who was the richest among the Jews who came out of Egypt into the deserts? Who were the richest people? I think those who listened to the command of the Lord and in obedience did what the Lord said. Exodus chapter 11, verse 2. It's a very interesting verse. Here's the commandment from the Lord to Jewish people through Moses. "Speak now into the ears of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, from Egyptians, and every woman from her neighbor, for articles of silver and gold. And actually, interesting verse, Exodus 12, verse 36. Here is the interesting moment. Adonai gave the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians and let them have what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. Wow. The fact is that it was the salary of the Jewish people for 400 years of hard work. So this is the very important to remember. This wealth was a blessing from God. Without him, they would have nothing, and they would have left Egypt poor. I can imagine those Jews who were ashamed to go and ask for gold from Egyptians, who did not obey the Lord and doubt that they would succeed. They became the poorest of all in Israel. And the obedient Jews, who stepped over their fear and false shame, became the most successful in Israel. So the truth is that the Lord himself was the source of their prosperity. Now you understand that one of the reasons why the Pharaoh went after the Jewish people with an army was that he wanted to take back the wealth of Israel. It was one of his goals. So, and the second part. Let's think about why the Lord gave so much gold and other riches to his people. What was the reason? Did he not know that there are no ATMs and banks in the desert where they can exchange gold for shekels or for dollars? Of course, from the very beginning, God knew about the 40 years that his people would spend in the wilderness. It was not secret for him. But I believe one of the main reasons the Lord has entrusted such treasures and prosperity is that they will be a blessing to others, because it was their calling to be a blessing to others. He wanted to test the hearts of the children of Israel, to teach them how to use his blessing correctly. And you know from the scriptures, from the Torah, that one of the most important tasks the Lord gave them was to build the house of God, the tabernacle of Moses, and constantly maintain a ministry there. So, which means gold and silver, precious stones were entrusted to them to construct God's house, the glorious place where the presence of God can dwell. So, let's think, what went wrong with the Jewish people? I don't have time to talk about all the reasons, but let's look at some of them. So first reason, I think it's one of the main reasons. They thought that they were chosen because they were unique, something special about them. And because of that, they can go where they want to, do what they want to, serve whoever they like. Do you remember how many times the Jewish people wanted to return to Egypt or become a part of other nations that lived around them? How often they argued with Moses and questioned the will of God. Therefore, they decided that they deserved to be rich, successful, chosen. They decided that they deserved to be. And when Moses humbled himself and fasted for 40 days before the Lord, the rest of the people decided that it was time to take the bull by the horns, to forge their luck. They thought, since we are the chosen ones and God has blessed us with everything we can wish for, so let's build ourselves a convenient God, an idol that can be controlled and directed. Not the Lord who leads us, whom we must obey and humble ourselves, serving him and him alone. So they decided to use God's blessing to create a deity for themselves and serve him. So they used God's blessing in the wrong direction, in the wrong way. It's really remind me of the times in which we live today. Today, from the lips of many people who are called to share the truth of the Lord, you can hear that God only wants to make you the wealthiest, most prosperous. And all you need to do is to give and proclaim, and in return, you will receive 10 times more or 100 times more. Looking at the example from today's Torah chapter, I see a warning to each of us. And here's the warning. I believe it is from the Lord to us. How dangerous it is to think that you are rich and prosperous, or live in the richest country in the world because you are unique and better than other people. How dangerous it is. If you start thinking that you are worthy or of prosperity and God's love and mercy more than anyone else and cease to be a blessing, then your wealth becomes your golden calf, the problem for you. I know that gold is neutral and it can serve God or the golden calf. And Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, and this is the key verse for today. Matthew 6 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stick by one and look down on the other. You cannot serve God and money. And in Greek, money also can be translated, and more accurate translation is, you can't serve God and prosperity. You can't serve. It is good to have money, for sure. But you cannot serve prosperity. You cannot put all your life only in this direction. It is up to you to decide what to do with your life, whose house to build, the house of God or an idol convenient to carry around. We live in America. God blesses this country, but woe to the people who are proud and think that they are more worthy than others. When a nation forgets the Lord and his calling, it ceases to be a blessing to those around, and strife, useless quarrels, and wars come. The people lost their purpose and the meaning of their existence without the Lord. I want to share one secret. A truly successful person is the one who has joy and meaning in his life. The one who has found peace and happiness is rich. All that I have spoken today is in the words of Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul. I would like to read a few places. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he, the Lord, says, at a far away time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as disciplined, yet not put to death, as grieving, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. Verse 16, what agreement does God's temple have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Adonai. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will take you in. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Adonai Tzavot. Verse 10, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing but possessing everything. How interesting. It turns out that you can have nothing but be the wealthiest person on earth. Of course, provided that you fulfill God's will. And you can have treasures but not have God and be an unhappy, miserable, spiritually poor person who does not have happiness and meaning in life. And I would like to take your attention here. I'm not saying that we should be all poor. Not, of course not. I'm saying that we should build God's house and be a blessing to others. The house of God is people who believe in Yeshua the Messiah, wherever they live and whatever they possess. In conclusion, I want to read the place of the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Here is the war of two worlds. But I say, walk by the Ruach, by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Ruach, the Spirit, but the Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do what you want. I know that we are sinful people, and inside us there will always be a war of two worlds, the flesh and the world of the Spirit. The most important question is which side your heart, your will, your decision will take. Who will you put first? Moses, who fasted and prayed for 40 days in order to receive the Torah, hear the voice of God exactly and did not miss anything. Or as the rest of the people of Israel who decided to relax, you will use God's gift, talents and blessings for a pleasant life, so that life becomes a party, a holiday, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And in that, I would like to share with you one very important truth. God is merciful and gives a second chance. Despite such serious crime, idolatry, one intercessor, Moses, stood in the gap and protected the Jewish people from God's wrath. So today, we are called to be intercessors for our countries, stand in the gap, and be a blessing to our cities and our nations. Do not judge or condemn, but pray and bless. James 5:16, the last part of this verse. The effective prayer of a righteous person is very, very powerful. Amen. Thank you so much. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric's home for a final song. So let us pray together. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavalecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.